Bible study, praise God, adult Bible study. Everybody else is in their classrooms throughout the building, and we are glad you were here. We're going to start tonight with two Bible passages, or verses actually, John 14. You can find your place there. We'll read one verse, and then Acts chapter 1. John 14 and Acts chapter 1. And we are talking about, Brother Jude spoke to us last Wednesday night, but the Wednesday before that, we started a new series that I'm calling Our Dependence on the Holy Spirit. And this particular series, and you'll see it as we go along, is going to have a particular flow to it. But our dependence on the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, look at verse number 17, John 14, verse 17. We're glad you're with us online. Praise God. Always glad to have you. Glory to God. Let's just back up to verse number 16. Amen. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He will be in you. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. John 14, 17 talked about the Spirit of God in us. But this scripture talks about the Spirit of God upon us. When it comes to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the New Testament teaches two separate and distinct workings of the Spirit. Amen. Two separate and distinct workings. There is the Spirit in us, and there is the Spirit upon us. And sometimes those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we forget about the importance of the Spirit of God being in us. Glory to God. But everybody that's born again, the Spirit of God is in them. And the purpose of the Spirit within, the Spirit in us, the Spirit upon us, the purpose of the Spirit in us or within us is different than the Spirit of God upon us. Amen. The Spirit within us is to help us in our daily lives. Glory to God. To lead us, to guide us, to counsel us, to help us grow in character, and to help us exercise the fruit of the Spirit. But the Spirit upon us is to allow the power of God and the supernatural ability of God to flow out of us to others. So we have the Spirit within, amen, to help us in every area, and we have the Spirit upon us to flow out of us to be a blessing to other people. And it's important, extremely important, that we realize and understand the dual, listen to what I'm saying now, the dual, or you could say the twofold working of the Spirit in our lives. Glory to God. To say it another way, you know, there's only one Holy Ghost, only one Holy Spirit, but there are different works of the Spirit in our lives. And it's extremely important. Because see, we can grow in these areas. We can learn in these areas. We can go deeper in the, I don't like that term normally, but we can go deeper in these areas and understand some things that we have not understood like we should have. So it's extremely important that we recognize and yield to the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. Now notice the way I said that. I said the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I know that when we're born again, you know, we're complete in Christ and we've got everything we need. But we forget sometimes, even Spirit-filled believers, just when it comes, forget about being filled with the Spirit for a second. Just think about the Spirit of God in you. Greater is He that's in you. Jesus said He's with you, but now God will be in you. Amen. If we don't understand these things, we will not benefit too much from the indwelling presence unless we experience renewals of the Spirit. And unless we walk in the ways of the Spirit. And unless we walk in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Initially, we are born again by the Spirit of God. He comes and makes His home on the inside of us. Amen. He comes to live on the inside of us. We know that's the work of the Spirit and the new birth. But Scripture tells us that the inward man is renewed day by day. So evidently, your inward man needs to be renewed day by day. And when your inward man is renewed, I promise you, it affects your physical health. It affects everything, but it affects your physical health. And so the Bible says, how is the inward man renewed? Well, he's renewed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in Ephesians 3:16, Paul just said it a different way. He said, our inner man is strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's Paul actually praying for believers. So they're born again. They're complete in Christ. Yet Paul's praying for the believers that their inner man would be strengthened. amen, or that they would be strengthened with might, or renewed, you could say, with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. So we all need to be strengthened or renewed with might by God's Spirit. We need renewals. Daily renewals of the Spirit are necessary in order to stay spiritually strong. Glory to God. Obviously, we need the leading of the Spirit. Obviously, we need the help of the Spirit, of the counsel of the Spirit on a daily basis. And we'll go back into this a little bit deeper as we go along. I just wanted to bring it out at this time so you'll understand why this is so important. Are you listening to me? And we need to realize again that we can grow in these things and have a deeper understanding of these things. All right, let's go back and look at John chapter 20 now and see some things here. John 20. Because there's a lot of different things to look at. And like I said, you look at it one time for one particular approach and at other times for a different approach. But in John chapter 20, verse number 19. Amen. And let me set this up. This is after, everybody say after. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. It's after he's been raised from the dead. And as you compare this with other scriptures, it's obvious that this is after Jesus has gone into the heavenly Holy of Holies and presented his blood and cleansed the heavenly Holy of Holies utensils. You read that in Hebrews. Amen. And obtained our eternal salvation. Amen. And so actually we can see something here if we'll just back up. Look, John chapter 20, let's back up to verse number let's go all the way back to verse number 13. This is when Mary came to the tomb, you know, and she verse 11, it'll be self-explanatory. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say teacher. And Jesus said, notice this, Jesus said, New King James says, "Do not cling to me." King James says, "Don't touch me. Why? I have not yet ascended to my Father, but gone to my brethren, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went away. Jesus ascended up into heaven. You read this in Hebrews, presented his blood to the Father. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, amen, when the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And and you remember from other, you know, end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that when they saw him, they still kind of doubted. They were confused. They didn't understand God's mighty plan of redemption, that Jesus would be raised from the dead. And so when he had said this, he showed them his hands. That's because they're doubting. When he said this, he showed him his hands, amen, and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And at this same time, not recorded in John's Gospels, but in other Gospels, that's when he turned to Thomas, and he said, because Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I see, unless I touch, you know, those wounds." And he said, "Touch my hands." You know, you remember that. He said, "Touch me." Now, just a few minutes ago, or not a few minutes ago, hours earlier, he had told Mary, "Don't touch me." But then when he appears to the disciples, he tells Thomas, and he tells them, all of them, "Touch me." Why? Because, you see, he was on his way to heaven to obtain our eternal redemption by offering his pure blood, and Mary Magdalene didn't need to touch him, but now that's already been accomplished. And so he tells them now, "Go ahead and touch me." And now watch this, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you, as the Father," or let's back up, verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, a lot of people have a lot of trouble with those scriptures, and they see, you go to the Catholic priest and all that kind of stuff, and people write books about it. But this is really pretty simple. Jesus is saying, look, think about this. It's simple, but it's awesome. We, you and I, any of us, any believer, we can tell a sinner, somebody that's got sin in their life, that's the worst sinner that's ever lived, that's separated from God, that's on their way to hell. We can tell them that because of what Jesus did for them at the cross and in redemption, we can boldly tell people, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can boldly say to you, your sins are remitted. That's all he's telling them. Amen. And we can tell people, who can forgive sin? Who can tell people their sins are forgiven? Anybody that tells people the gospel. And he's also saying, listen, if you're not right with God, we tell people if you're not right with God, amen, and you never will be right with God because you're going through some other religion. There is no other name under the heaven that a person could go to heaven other than the name of Jesus. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There aren't many, many different religions all leading to the same God. That's not true. There's only one way to God. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because He is the only way to salvation, apart from Him, your sins are retained. So we tell people that. But it's an awesome thing to look at somebody that comes to the front and say, your sins are forgiven. Never be held against you. You're justified. You're right with the God of the universe. Glory to God. But what I really want you to see here and focus on is verse number 20. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. When he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. See, right here is when they were born again. Everything he was already accomplished. He had already been crucified on the cross. He had already suffered, for 3 days and 3 nights. He had already been raised from the dead. He had already gone into the heavenly holy of holies and presented his blood. There was nothing else left to do. That right then is when they were born again. Right then, the Spirit of God regenerated their spirit, caused them to become alive spiritually. They were born again and received the Spirit of God, moved in them and began to indwell them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost is when they were filled with the Spirit. Amen. So they were born of the Spirit. Glory to God. And he came to live on the inside of them. And every born again believer has God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in them. Almighty God is with you. Think of it like this. It's like Jesus is walking with you. It's like Jesus is with you everywhere you go. God, the Holy Spirit, is everywhere you go. Amen. Now, I know people aren't conscious of that. They're not aware of that, and they don't take advantage of it. But every born-again believer has the mighty Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. And you can see, after they're born again, you can see the immediate results of this new birth experience in their particular case. Up to this point, and we will not look at all the scriptures because you know them, but up to this point, they were hiding. They were hiding in fear. They were confused. And the Bible says they were offended at him. Now, that doesn't mean they were mad at him. That word in the Greek, offended, means you begin to distrust somebody that you ought to trust, and you begin to back away from them. They were like, I thought he was the Messiah, but he died. So they were confused, and they were full of doubts. You read in Mark, he upbraided them for their doubt. And in one verse says, he appeared to them, but some doubted. So they were full of doubt, they were full of fear, they were full of confusion. But after this experience, Luke 24 says, and let's turn there. Luke 24 says, amen. We'll read the whole thing, but I want to get to the end of Luke. Luke 24, you with me? Luke 24, verse 53 says, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And in a minute, we'll read Acts chapter 1, what it says about them. But now, you know, after Jesus said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit," they worshiped him with great joy. And they were continually out in the open, in the temple, among the people, praising and blessing God with great joy. Glory to God. Well, you know, you can see the evidence of the new birth. So it says again, verse 52, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Glory to God. And so as you read that, you know, you can see that they're no longer confused, they're no longer in fear, they're no longer... Why? Because they've been born again. I mean, you know, if you want to see which way the wind's blowing, you don't go out and look at a building, you go out and look at the little leaves. They'll show you what, you know, you look at the little things. And so just from these little things, we can see that something very dramatic has happened in their lives. Well, it certainly did. They got saved. Amen. All right, now let's back up because I want to show you something here. Luke 24, right where we're at, verse number 33. "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon.' And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me.'" Well, we talked about that a while ago when he first saw Mary Magdalene. He said, "Don't touch me." But now he says, "Handle me." So chronologically, he's already breathed on them. He's already said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Glory to God. And they're born again. They're indwelt by the Spirit, as we're going to read along here. "Behold my hands and my feet. This is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still not believe, they still didn't believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins..." See, Luke's not telling us, but we read it in John. This is where he breathed on them. This is where they received the Holy Spirit. Here he's saying, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, being at Jerusalem." And you know, in Mark chapter 16, it says you can tell people if they believe, they're saved. If they don't believe, they're condemned. Glory to God. So you follow that. You understand that. And now watch this. Here's what we're getting to. "And that repentance or remission of sins," verse 47, "should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Upon you. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So he tells them the Holy Spirit, he's already in you, but now the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you will be endued with power from on high. Endued means to be endowed with, or clothed with, or gifted with, or given. So you're going to be endowed with, you're going to be clothed with, you're going to be gifted with, you're going to be given power from on high. And then Luke, same writer as in the book of Acts, Luke wrote Acts, and Luke, this is the way he put it. So let's read that in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse number 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he," that's Jesus, "commanded them." Everybody say commanded. "Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence.'" So you see, baptized with the Holy Spirit and endued with power are synonymous terms. In a minute, he's going to talk about, he talks about being filled with the Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit, as in the fullness of the Spirit, all talking about this experience of being endued with power from on high. So skip down now to verse number 8. Notice what it says. Amen. Luke 1:8. "But you shall receive power." You shall be endued with power from on high. But now he says you shall receive power. He could just as easily said you shall be endued with power. And in Luke's gospel, he could have said you will receive power. But you shall receive power when? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. So you shall be endued with, or you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Think about it. Jesus said, tarry, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Don't do anything. Don't preach the gospel. Don't leave Jerusalem. And in Acts, he said, I command you not to depart for Jerusalem, but wait until you're endued with power. So the gospel is the greatest message ever told. It's the most important message this world has ever heard or will ever hear. We are saved. People are saved. Sinners are saved by hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other message that will wash your sins away and make you righteous and take you to heaven. And the great commission, our commission, is to go and spread the gospel. But Jesus said, I command you, don't do anything until you are baptized with, are filled with, are endued with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. That's how important it is. All right, listen to me. I heard about a Baptist pastor. He was a Baptist seminary professor in one of our leading Baptist seminaries in America, in the United States. And so, you know, during the time those students were there, he would get to know them and so forth, and they would have different classes with him. But when it came time for the graduating class, you know, whatever class that it was, he always, at some point in time, in his classroom or gathered together, and every year before graduation, he would tell the graduates, he'd say, listen, he said, I can't say much about it, but he would always say, there is another or subsequent experience of the Spirit called being endued with power from on high. And he says, you dare not attempt to preach without it. Glory to God. Amen. And so there are many, many, many directions we want to go and many directions we can go from here. But let's go back to something we looked at last week or week before last, and that's in Psalms 103. Because you're going to see the direction of this as we go along. Psalms 103. Verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth. A better translation would be who satisfies your life. He satisfies your life. Glory to God. Who satisfies your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So David in this psalm says, hey, don't forget any of His benefits. Amen. Don't forget any of the benefits of the Lord. Glory to God. Don't forget that He not only does He forgive all your iniquities, but He heals all your diseases. Well, thank God for that. Can you say amen? Amen. We know that. We Pentecostal word of faith, but we know that. He forgives all our iniquities and He heals all our diseases. Glory to God. But then verse number 4 says, very interesting, don't forget any of the benefits, who redeems. Here the word redeem means saves, or rescues, or delivers. He saves, He rescues, He delivers. Saves is really the best translation here. He saves your life from destruction. In other words, from anything that would steal, kill, and destroy. Physically, financially, maritally, mentally, emotionally. He saves your life from destruction. Well, are these things true? Is it true that He forgives all our iniquities? Is it true that He heals all our diseases? Is it true that He saves our lives from all destruction or from anything that would destroy? Glory to God. Do these things belong to us under the New Testament? Well, were these just benefits to the Jews? You know, some people are always relegating everything to the Jew, but not to the New Testament Christian. Oh, yeah, even theologically, they'll admit God promised them long life, God promised them healing. But you see, that doesn't belong to you as a New Testament Christian. Oh, yeah, God promised the Jew prosperity and blessings financially. But see, that doesn't belong to you under the New Testament. Well, it seemed like we'd be better off if Jesus didn't come, didn't it? Of course, that's not true. We're a million times better off. Glory to God. You know, these things belong to us. You know, Hebrews 8:6 says we have a better covenant, a superior covenant based on better promises. In other words, if something is better than the old, it has all the benefits of the old and much, much, much beyond. So all the blessings of the old are in the new and more beyond. Hallelujah. See, and here's just a sampling of the new benefits. Our sins are not just covered, they're washed away. Glory to God. We're not just servants of God anymore. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We've been born again. We're children of God. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We're all kings and priests. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. He didn't live in any of them. Now, the Spirit of God would come upon certain people in the Old Testament, you know, the king, the priest, the prophet, and come upon people to enable them to be able to do certain things that he wanted them to do, like build the temple or whatever. But under the New Testament, he lives on the inside of us, and everybody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. So yes, all these benefits belong to us, glory to God, and we have many scriptures to verify that. For one, just one, Galatians 3:13 and 14, we're familiar with that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was spiritual death, you know, being bound by your sins. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, spiritual death. We're redeemed from the curse of poverty and lack. Really, we're redeemed from anything less than a full supply. He's redeemed us from every sickness and every disease. He's redeemed us from being defeated by our enemy. He's redeemed us from mental and emotional problems and from breakdowns in the family. He's redeemed us from being unproductive and unfruitful. That's all under the curse of the law. Glory to God. Amen. And so it says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, when he died on the cross. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's that better covenant. So yes, all these benefits, all these blessings belong to us under the new covenant. And as David said in Psalms 103, don't forget any of the benefits. And one of the benefits is he saves your life from destruction. But how many Christians do you know that have experienced great amounts of destruction in their life? He saves your life from destruction. What would you say to a New Testament Christian that said, I can't be forgiven? You'd say, I don't care what you think. I don't care how it seems to you. I don't care what it feels like or looks like. Jesus said you are forgiven, so you are forgiven. Amen? And the same with this. Listen to me. You know as well as I do, amen, that every promise in the book is faith activated and faith dependent. In other words, every good thing we see in the Bible, every good thing that's promised to us, every promise, every provision that we read about that does belong to us, it is ours if we believe. If we believe. So it doesn't automatically come to pass in our life. But it's available to us and it belongs to us. We just have to, by faith, appropriate it. And you know that. So knowing the Word and believing the Word and all this involved there, confessing it, acting upon it, and so forth. Listen to this. I want you to listen to get this statement now. Believing the Word makes it possible. Believing the Word makes it possible to enjoy exemption from anything that would try to harm us or destroy us. He saves your life from destruction. So being a person of faith makes it possible to enjoy exemption from anything that would try to harm us or destroy us or steal our peace or steal our health or steal our well-being. You know, if somebody has good well-being, that means they're happy, successful, prosperous, blessed. Glory to God. Amen. Now, that does not mean we won't be challenged. That doesn't mean we won't have, you know, the devil can challenge anybody. That doesn't mean we won't face any tests or trials, but it does mean we can overcome anything that tries to defeat us and hurt us in any way if we walk by faith. You see the difference? In other words, there are people that they walk by faith and face challenges and they come out the other side victorious. There are people that face tests and challenges and God is with them and they're glad that He's sitting there patting their hand, but they come out the other side and they've experienced some destruction. They've experienced some harm in some way or another. No, we can go through and be exempt from anything that would hurt us. Not exempt from the challenge, but we're exempt from the challenge having any power over us. That's the difference. But don't put a period right there. I said, don't put a period right there like that's the end of the story. Other things do come into play. Whether or not we're walking in love comes into play. Amen. Faith works by love. So if you're not walking in love, then your faith won't work. Amen. And faith receives the grace of God. Amen. Walking in wisdom comes into play. And these things are very interrelated. And relative to what we're talking about, we must learn to recognize and listen to and obey the promptings of the Spirit, the leadings of the Spirit within. That's not even being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. We must learn to operate in His counsel that He gives us. We must learn to ask for and receive His help. Amen. Glory to God. Now, last time, you know, I was with you because this helps make the point, and there's hundreds of examples. This is just one. But last time I told you about a pastor who was an outstanding man of faith. I mean, he's not a traveling evangelist or an apostle or whatever, but, you know, he's just an outstanding man of faith, and he was noted for getting the sick healed. I mean, just had a reputation for getting the sick healed. But he was involved in a couple of very, very serious automobile wrecks. And because of those automobile wrecks, you know, as I understand the story, he also dealt with lawsuits for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, because now the one of them he was involved in, that's the one I told you about. He was in a multi-car pileup. A lady in the car in front of him, you know, there were 2 or 3 cars already piled up. He piled into them, 2 or 3 piled in the back of him. The lady in the car in front of him died. His car was demolished. Does that sound like destruction to you? She died. His car was demolished. And the doctor said about his wife, because she was taken by ambulance to the hospital unconscious, and they said, Pastor, there's no use praying for her. Matter of fact, if you pray for her and you bring her back, you know, she'll just be a vegetable. They said, we expect her to be dead in just a few minutes. Well, thank God he didn't give up on his faith. And he prayed for her, and she was raised up, and she was released from the hospital in less than an hour. True story. Glory to God. Amen. But this testimony, this is his testimony. Listen to me. He said, years went by, and he said, I began to learn about, you know, he said, I knew I had the Holy Spirit. I knew I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like a lot of people do. He said, but I really began to appreciate that and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, the leadings of the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit, and I could look back in my life and see where I'd made some mistakes. I really began to learn how to depend upon the Holy Spirit to help me when I face challenges and difficulty. Yeah, we go to the Word, we find out what the Word says, but you also need to sometimes find out what the Spirit of God is saying to you about your specific situation. And so he said, when I think about that accident with the multi-car pileup, he said, that morning as we were packing to go, we were in a hurry, and 3 different times that morning, he said, the Holy Ghost tried to arrest me. What do you mean when we say arrest? To stop him. To get his attention, arrest him, stop him, get his attention. He said, 3 different times the Holy Ghost tried to arrest me and get my attention. And he tried to get me to hold back and wait, or just wait. Don't leave right now. Wait. You know, just 30 minutes. Wait and then leave for your trip. But he said, I ignored all 3 of those promptings, all 3 of those, you know, inner witnesses. And if he had waited, he would have totally missed the car pileup. See, in this case, he didn't just face and overcome a trial. He did overcome in the end because he believed God and got his wife raised up, and I'm sure God helped him with the lawsuits and so forth. But in this incident, a lot of destruction did take place. Again, thank God that in the end, God helped him and he did overcome, but it all could have been avoided. Amen. And that we can't point our finger at him. We've probably all been guilty in this area. And listen, in this case, it was not a matter of faith. Because you see, his testimony was, actually, when that first happened to me, you know, when he's looking back and he had that, just don't go, just wait. He was like, ah, bless God. I'm making my confessions. God watches over us. God takes care of us. I confess the Lord will take care of us. So he ignored the Spirit's warning. He ignored the Spirit's leading and tried to make a confession of faith. God's going to take care of us. But in that case, it didn't work and it won't work. But by listening to the Holy Spirit, he could have been delivered from, saved from, redeemed from a lot of destruction. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Amen. So let me back up and say something that I said to you a while ago that I think is very powerful. You know, I said a while ago that we can be exempt from some of from all of these things by walking in faith, but that's not the end of the story. So let me say it to you this way. By believing the Word, by acting in line with the Word, in every area of life, believe the Word, act in line with the Word, obey the Word, and, everybody say and, by paying attention to the Spirit's help and counsel and leading, his help, his counsel, his leading, it's possible to enjoy exemption from anything that would try to destroy us, amen, or harm us, or steal our peace, or steal our health, or steal our well-being. So we need to be people of the Word first, because the Spirit always agrees with the Word. We need to be people of the Word, and we need to be people of the Spirit. And it's not just the leading of the Spirit. We need to receive His help and His, you know, He'll teach you all things and show you things to come. If you knew something was coming up, wouldn't that help you? It can help you one of a couple of different ways. It can help you because you know that it's coming, and so you can prepare for it. It can help you, and you know that it's coming, so you can avoid it altogether. Or sometimes he shows you something to come, and it can't be avoided, but at least you're prepared for it, and doesn't shock you. Amen. And so you can you know, help people. Glory to God. I've you know, there's been family members that I begin to realize a certain member of the family was gonna go home, was gonna die, and you'd begin to prepare them a little bit because, you know, most people just act like nobody's ever gonna die, but every person that has ever lived on the face of the earth except Enoch and Eli has died, you know. And so sometimes you can know those things in advance and help people. So let me close with these thoughts to you. And let's see, I think we have time. Turn back over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You got kind of quiet out there. I think those gears are grinding. He said, I think I see the direction you might be taking us here. John 14, verse number 16. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another, King James says what, comforter? New King James says helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Are you experiencing His help? That He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now here's what I want you to see, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I've been to different parts of the world where I've seen orphans. And you know, in this country right here, it wasn't too many years ago where we didn't much know what to do with orphans. Back in the 1940s even, you know, a lot of times if somebody was an orphan, that, you know where they took them? To jail. Because they didn't know what to do with them. 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I've been to Ukraine where, you know, we went to the abused orphan home. We went to one orphanage where these kids, and they're like, and they're all taking care of each other. You know, they're all like 3 years old and 9 years old. I said, where are these come from? They took them off the streets. 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7, sometimes out on the streets for months and months, sometimes for years at a time. No parents. Can you imagine? And in those days, you could look up Ukraine, like on Wikipedia, and you wouldn't go long into reading about it, and one of the things it would talk about was the problem they had with so many orphans in Ukraine for whatever reason. See, an orphan is comfortless. An orphan is helpless. No help. No hope. And Jesus said, I will not leave you like an orphan. Can you imagine what it was like to be an orphan 2,100 years ago in that world? He said, I will not leave you helpless. I will not leave you like an orphan that has no help whatsoever. I will not leave you uncared for. And so he's talking specifically about the Holy Spirit within. Amen. And so I just want to close with this quote from Reverend Mark Brzee. Now, in his book here, he wrote a book on the leading of the Spirit. Listen carefully. But you remember, because this is pertinent to our teaching, you know, you can apply this to, yes, it applies. What he says here definitely applies to being led by the Spirit, but it also applies to everything about the Holy Spirit. He wants to comfort you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to teach you. And yes, he wants to lead you. And so Mark Brzee says this, if you are a child of God, you are not on your own in this world with no clue as to what to do or where to go. Here's an orphan roaming around the street, eating out of garbage cans, a little bit older, stealing what he can, you know, living in a cardboard house. You are not like life. Listen to what he says. Life is not a matter of what will be, will be. That's where a lot of the Christian world lives. What will be, and if it happens, it's God's will. No, that's not true. Life is not a matter of what will be, or everything, good or bad, happens for a reason. God is not playing games with His will for your life. He has a purpose for you, and He wants to help you find it. God wants you fulfilled, blessed, healthy, and prosperous. Yet the truth is, just because God has a plan for your life doesn't mean you will automatically walk in it. You have a part to play. Just as much as God will lead, you must follow. We must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within. We must listen to the counsel that He gives. We must receive also the help that He gives. He said, God did not send Jesus to purchase your redemption only to have him say, okay, got to go now, see you around. I hope you make it all through life and things turn out okay. No, Jesus said, I will not leave you like orphans. In another place he said, it's to your advantage that I leave. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come and live on the inside of you. So God, the Holy Spirit, can be with Jude in Nigeria, and He can be with Mark in Cleveland, Tennessee. And if Jesus were here, He could only be with Jude, or He could be with me, but He couldn't be with you and everybody else. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, can be in each one of us and counsel us and help us and teach us and warn us and show us things to come and guide us. Glory to God. God did not send Jesus to purchase your redemption only to have Him say, got to go now, boy. See you around. Hope you make it through life and things turn out okay. No, God put Himself inside every born-again believer. Jesus promised that the Spirit of God would make His home in you and lead you and guide you through life. If you're a believer, the Spirit of God is your guide inside, and God intends that you spend your life following Him. He is your inward compass. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. It's 8 o'clock on the dot. Praise God. Glory to God. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Right on the inside of me. God, the Holy Spirit, lives to guide, to help, to strengthen, to renew, to warn. I have a guide on the inside. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we're talking about on Wednesday night, depending on the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So glad you were with us tonight. God bless you. Good to see you guys. Oh, Margaret is going to be up here. If you can help, if you can bring something, if you can go buy something and bring it, come up here and see her, and she's right here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you if you were watching online. God bless you.